This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
So for those of you that say we want more Rothenberg in our lives, this is your day. Because I've been on since 6 o'clock this morning, and I'm going to take you up till noon when Alan Hahn is going to tag in and take you till 3, and then it's the Michael Kay Show. So I'm giving you 6 hours of radio. For those of you that don't like me, which I imagine is few and far between, this is probably not the greatest day for you. But Bart and I just did the morning show, and we will do that all week long, and hopefully Rick will join us at some point during the course of the week. He's still having issues from that unbelievable storm last week. All right, so there's a lot to get into today. College football is, for lack of a better term, teetering right now. Talked to Heather Dinich this morning. She said it's in bad shape. Talked to Ryan McGee this morning, and he said, and here's the thing. You have college kids. Doesn't it, in some capacity, make sense to at least, as Bart continued to say today, punt it down the road, and we'll see where we get to in 2 months, in 3 months? Like, why do we have to make this ultimate final decision now? And I guess the answer is we probably don't. So to me, and this, it annoys me with guys like Gene Smith, the athletic director of Ohio State, coming out and saying, weeks ago, well, we're going to have college football. And not only are we going to have college football, we're going to have 50% capacity. And then you have, the president of Michigan who's saying, I don't know. I don't feel good about this whatsoever. Well, now we're sitting here and it's the 11th hour. And the truth is, we have absolutely no idea. Are we going to have college football or are we not? And it doesn't sound like we're going to right now. And then we got into the discussion. We'll get into more football as we move forward towards the back end of the show. But I wanted to start with Major League Baseball. Now, I left off and the Mets were just, they're the Mets. They're an unmitigated disaster and that's what we do. So I was off last week. I did the show last Saturday, did the show this past Saturday, and then I'm back, officially my normal capacity starting right now. So Friday night, last Friday, 10 days ago, the Mets had, let's be fair, one of the worst losses you could ever possibly imagine. It was egregious, right? It was disgusting. It was watching them made you almost sick to your stomach. Out of pandemic or not, it was painful to watch. You're up 8-2. 8-2 over the Atlanta Braves. You're up 10-5 in the eighth over the Atlanta Braves. And this isn't even a Diaz ultimately, blowing this. Betances, Lugo, it didn't matter what combination you went with, the Mets lose. And the Yankees are flying high and they're winning games and it's, Shangri-La. Nothing can go poorly with the Yankees and they're so great. By the way, 800-919-3776. As always, we're going to be very interactive with the calls, even more so today because I'm flying solo. So I want to hear from you, 800-919-3776. So Mets, disaster. I destroyed them last Saturday. And I said, and I stand by this, I'm done. Great. They beat the Marlins 2 out of 3. They lost to a guy who was pitching in high A ball on Friday night, but I'm done. I'll watch them, but I'm not going to emote. I'm not going to get crazy with the Mets anymore. That to me is done. It's gone. It's not going to happen. You're not going to have me turn on the microphone first thing in the morning and freak out about the disaster that is the New York Mets. It's not going to happen this season. Now, if they sell to Steve Cohen and they bring in legitimate pieces and I look at them as a franchise that's functional, then maybe you'll have that at some point in the future. But I'm not doing that now. I'm telling you. I promise you. I swear to you. That's not going to be my tact on the Mets right now. It just isn't. I'm going to watch them. They will frustrate me to a very small amount. Because at the end of the day, here's the thing as the Mets fan. I want to get to the Yankees, and I want to get into the Stanton story, and I want to get into the Yankees. The fact that, let's be fair, let's be honest, the Yankees don't look very good right now. In fact, just the opposite. The Yankees look very bad right now. The Yankees, if you're a Yankees fan, I think you have to be somewhat concerned right now. They'll make the playoffs, it's fine. But this juggernaut, this runaway, but we'll get there in 90 seconds. But I'm telling you, as far as the Mets are concerned, and they won 2 out of 3, and it's great, and you beat the Marlins, and all of a sudden you're 2 games under 500, and maybe you feel this momentum, you go there. You do that. I'm not doing that. I'm not playing that game anymore. I've retired that for this season, maybe this season alone. During the pandemic of 2020, as far as getting myself incensed and angry and crazed when it comes to the New York Mets, Not happening. Friday night, you know what? Was I upset? Yeah, you're not thrilled about it, but it's not the normal freak out. I really feel like I'm growing as a sportsman. I'm growing as a person. You're seeing, as the world crumbles around us right now, you are seeing a new and improved version of Dave Rothenberg. You are. You are seeing a legitimate maturing process right before your eyes, something that most of you thought you probably would never see. All right, I want to get to the Yankees. How can you not be? Here's the thing. In the way I look at the Mets, I think you have to look at the Yankees injury situation. You can't look at the Mets. You can't have a child who does the wrong thing all the time or a friend who always gets himself into trouble, and when he does it again, become so upset with him. You have to kind of understand, this is really how it is. This is really, in fact, what it is. This is the Mets. And on the flip side of that, guys, this is the Yankees. Now, I'm not saying that you should be worried about the Tampa Bay Rays, but as far as Stanton is concerned, this is what he is. We've talked about this forever. He's always hurt. So I don't understand how you can call me today, and I get being frustrated and annoyed at him. This is who he is. If and when Judge gets hurt, this is what we've come to expect. When you look right now at Giancarlo Stanton, what did he make it? What are the Yankees? They're 10-6. He got hurt on Saturday, so he gave you 15 games. This is what he is. I don't know how angry you can get other than you look at the Yankees, and when they made that trade, most people looked at it and said, wait a minute, we get 57 home runs. We steal him from Miami. We trade Starlin Castro for one of the greats in baseball, an MVP, and we get him for pennies on the dollar. You know what? If you could turn that around right now and have never made that deal, you would. You would undo that trade in a heartbeat. But you know what? This is what he is. And I'm sorry if it's frustrating or upsetting. Now, you want to be angry at the Yankees? You had a lead yesterday. You let it get away. The Rays, almost had their way with you. They even got to call a little bit in the first game on Saturday. They beat you on Sunday. They beat you the second game on Saturday. Now, that's a feisty little team. But here's the truth. Does it really matter? Like, I understand we're going to sit here and we're going to dissect it, and we should. That's what we do. But ultimately, does it really matter? You know the Yankees are going to win this division. Even if they don't, you know the Yankees will come in second, right? So the odds are what? 85% chance they win the division? 14% chance they come in first or second? Who cares? Does coming in second, I know the Yankees fan who in their, you know, their ivory tower. Well, we don't expect second. But does it matter? If you're the 4 seed, if you're the 3 seed, if you're the 6 seed, you're going to be playing 2 out of 3 games to win and move on. So, of course, you want to wind up with the best record in the American League. That's the ultimate goal. But does it ultimately matter all that much? I would say probably not. I would say probably not. Paxton yesterday, did you leave him in too long? Probably. Let's take a listen to the manager from yesterday. Aaron Boone, couple of cuts. We'll take a listen. 800-919-3776. We'll get to your calls in just a moment. It's Rothenberg solo. How about that? You think Rick and Chris are like, oh my God, we left him all alone? They must be, right? Like, how could we leave Rothenberg all alone just to go wherever he wants to go? That's a questionable decision by both of those guys. One we'll probably get to next week when the schedule changes a little bit. We're going to be on 9 to 11 starting on Monday moving forward. Bart and Hahn 11 to 1. Then it's Greeny for an hour, Kellerman for an hour, and then the K Show from 3 o'clock on. That's your new schedule starting Monday, August 17th. All right, here's Aaron Boone after the game, courtesy of Yes, on the loss for the Yankees.
Yeah, it definitely stings. Got a chance to really salvage the trip. And, they put some good at-bats together to get back in the game, obviously. But we obviously take away a lot of good from the way Pax threw the ball. And kind of regroup in the off day and get ready for a homestand.
Yeah, listen, again, I don't know how crazy you're going to go. And I know the Yankees fan has this seemingly unrealistic expectation of this year. I can't imagine you don't win this division. The Rays are a scrappy team. They're not the Yankees. Their starting pitching is good. It's not the Yankees. You're ahead of them by 2 games anyhow. You're going to win this division. But Stanton, to say that's unexpected, I don't know how. I don't know why. I mean, this is truly, you have to come to expect this. And I think it's similar with Aaron Judge. And I'm not wishing it upon anybody. But if a week or 10 days or 2 weeks down the road, we find out that Aaron Judge has some kind of a strained calf, quad, hammy, whatever the case may be, are you going to be surprised by that? I don't think so. Nor should you be. Now, the Yankees' rotation has to be better. I mean, Cole is your savior, and we get that. But we haven't seen a lot from Paxton. We haven't seen a lot from Happ. We haven't seen a lot from Montgomery. You know, I think big spot, Tanaka, you trust him. But right now, again, this, you know, we say it's a marathon, not a sprint. Guys, this year it's a sprint. And an injury like Stanton has, I don't know what it means to the rest of the season. Could shut him down for weeks. Could shut him down for a month. Could shut him down for two. I mean, you could not see him till the last five games of the season. I don't know. 800-919-3776. Let's take a listen a little bit more from Aaron Boone. On Paxton, what stood out to you prior to the seventh inning where things got a little shaky?
I thought just great conviction and confidence that he threw the ball with. And it just goes to show you he can go through lineups even, you know, with where he doesn't have all his velocity back. We saw a little tick up in that velocity, but his execution was excellent. You know, he mixed in the changeup as well, but his fastball played really well. You know, the curve and the cutter were there for him. I just thought he was really a sharp, really on the attack, just had that aggressive mindset we saw from Pax most of last season. And this is a huge stepping stone for him, I think.
You got six innings from him, and he was great. Did you, and I don't know if you agree with this or not, did you really need to press him for the seventh inning? Like, you'd gotten six innings. You led the game 3-0. Did you really, and maybe you disagree, did you really need to press him? Like, wouldn't you have felt much better if the Yankees bullpen, although we probably play Monday morning quarterback, you'd say, why didn't you leave him in the seventh inning? But I just felt like six innings from him was enough. Hand it over to this bullpen. Not what they decided to do, and things got away, and the Yankees lose again to Tampa. 800-919-3776. We'll get to the NFL and college football as we move towards noon here, and that's when Alan Hahn's going to take over on 98.7 ESPN. Let's go to Lou. Let's go to Lou in Manalapan. Lou, you're first up on a Monday morning on 98.7 ESPN.
What's going on, Dave? First things I want to say, I'm very disappointed that you guys are only getting 2 hours starting next week, Dave.
But we're moving up. Like, don't. And I understand that would be the immediate reaction.
I guess you're moving up, but losing an extra hour. What happens to CMT? What happens to Knobs?
Listen, we're gonna. You know what we're gonna do? You know, like a can of tuna, where they take a large amount of tuna fish and they pack it into the little can.
Yeah.
That's what we're gonna do. We're gonna take the large amount of tuna fish and pack it into the little can.
Understood.
All right.
Understood. Yes. My point is, you know, the Yankee fan for the last couple of weeks kind of was pointing the finger, laughing at the Mets fan, you know, kind of, you know, I watch a lot of baseball games with Yankee fans, and every time, you know, the Mets seem to have a lead, and I watched that 8-2 disaster against the Braves with
that was awful. That was rock bottom, and that sent me on my Mets bender.
And I'm like I said a couple weeks ago to you, I listen to Meet the Mets before, you know, most Mets games. I'm sick, you know, but that one was the worst. That one was almost as bad as the Nationals game last year with Kurt Suzuki. But sorry to bring that up. But the point is the Yankee fan, you know, sits here, you know, all happily, you know, we're going to go 60-0 a couple of weeks ago. And you look at them and now you kind of, You kind of want to see them, you know, hit rock bottom, don't you? You know,
yeah. But here's the thing, Lou, and I understand the Mets fan taking excitement and the Santiago's of the world and the Alan Hahn's of the world just shake your head and say, "Leave us alone, Mets fan." And I get that. But here's the thing: even though the Yankees scuffled over the last 4 or 5 days, what does that mean? I mean, they're still going to win the division. They're still going to be at the top or second or worst case scenario third seed in the American League postseason. Like this is rock bottom for the Yankees. If your rock bottom, Lou, is the fact that, you know what, we'll win 37 games and be the 3 seed, that's a pretty good rock bottom, isn't it? Right? That's a pretty good. If that's as bad as it gets, that's a heck of a rock bottom. if you're a fan of the Yankees. 800-919-3776. I wonder this, and I'd like to hear from the Yankees fan. Have you lost patience? I imagine you probably have. With Stanton? Like, are you at the point where you would look at that trade and just say, that was a bad trade? Like, bringing him in and locking him into that amount of money for that extended period of time was just a bad move. And you know what you saw? You saw the shiny diamond and thought, we've got to get that. Whatever it was, like, I don't care if we have to insure it for hundreds of thousands or whatever. Like, we got to get that and put it in our pocket. Now we have it. But you know what? It's a long deal. And let's be fair. You're playing in Miami in front of no one with no pressure is a different animal than playing for the New York Yankees. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, you know what? Exhibit A, Sonny Gray. Sonny, let's be fair. Sonny Gray is a top 10 pitcher in baseball right now. But you mentioned that to the Yankees fan, and you detest him, right? Spike in Jersey. Spike, you're next up on 98.7.
Good morning, my friend. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. Being solo is reminiscent of the Saturday program. So caveat emptor to the other two boys. Listen, I'm look at the paper daily or the computer in these days, and I look at the standings. I'm sure you find this as bizarre as I do. The St. Louis Cardinals are 2-3.
It's unbelievable, Spike. It's unbelievable.
It's everywhere else. But 2-3, and now I understand August 10th is not the regular August 10th. This has been the crappiest year of my life. But 2-3, I mean, it's just... So
but Spike, I talked to Jesse Rogers earlier, covers baseball for ESPN. He said they'd have to play now, and they're already canceled for the first couple of days of this week. They have to play 55 games in 45 days now.
So here's what I told Ray on the pre-pickup. I said, so you're going to play 60 games. Some teams may not. So here's the bizarre part. So let's say the Yankees, for instance, are 38-22. Okay. And let's say, well, it won't be applicable because they're in the other league. Let's just say St. Louis is 19-5. And they're going to come out ahead. It just makes no sense to me.
But Spike, that's where we are right now. Now, I hate that. Listen, I agree with you. I hate the winning percentage. I think that's such an awful way. But if you can't play the games, what are you supposed to do? Would you feel better if you eliminated the Cardinals from baseball this year and had one less team?
No. But, theoretically, again, if you want to go further on this theory, you could take their, whoever the Cardinals' ace pitcher is now, I don't know, but let's say you had a DeGrom or a Cole, and you had 14 starts, you could pitch that guy six times. It's a cluster job.
Spike, it's awful. And thanks for the call, and thanks for the kind words. It's awful. It stinks. There's nothing positive to say about it. This is the hand we're dealt. I don't know what more there is to say. This is the hand we're dealt. It's a bad season. It's a bad world right now. It's a bad life that we are forced to lead. The Cardinals playing 37 games is the least of our worries. Does baseball feel the same? No, it doesn't feel the same. It's not the same. We're on the verge of losing college football. The NFL, same thing, right? I don't know what they're going to do. We're talking about, maybe there'll be games on Friday, Saturday, Thursday through Monday. Who knows? I think you have to be malleable this year. I think you have to be, whatever it is, it is. Try not to complain. Do I like seven-inning doubleheaders? I hate it. Some people like it. I can't stand it. But this is what we have to deal with. This is what we have to endure. So suck it up and deal with it. Dave, Long Island. Dave, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, Dave, what's going on? How you doing?
Good, Dave. How are you?
I'm good. Just wanted to say real quick on Paxton, it's been a while actually since I've watched the full game, but he was at 75 pitches through six innings with 11 strikeouts, and I honestly looked like he was on a trajectory to go a complete game shutout. So,
he wouldn't have gone complete game, Dave, but I'm not going to kill them for putting him out in the seventh inning, but... Listen, Monday morning quarterback, you got a great outing. Didn't it make sense to let him finish six innings, be done, dominant outing? 75 pitches is not an unbelievably low number at this point, and just let him feel good after the outing yesterday?
No, For sure. I think just we've gotten in the past, you know, few years or so with baseball, there's no more letting pitchers get out of jams anymore. Don't you feel that way?
You're right. Because there isn't.
If the Yankees were up 6 or 7-0, right, in that game, and he gives up, you know, 3 runs on 2 bombs, maybe Boone lets him work himself out of the inning, get out of it, you know, feel good about that. Like, I feel like we have such a quick fuse. The second he gives up a hit, it's like, oh, we were waiting for that all game. It's like, but he pitched a gem.
But you could have avoided that, and that's my point, Dave, and thanks for the phone call. You could have avoided that. If he was done after 6, you feel great. He's back on track. Yeah, you had you reminisce about what he was in that postseason game against the Astros. Now he gave you this outing, 6 shutout innings, dominant, looking wonderful, all that, and now you feel good about it. Instead, he went out for the 7th. He was not great. Again, he pitched well yesterday, but I thought that maybe I'm wrong, could have treated him a little more kid gloves and babied him and said, you know what, 6 innings, great outing, shutout, done, move forward, put it in a bow and be done. I mean, all you hear from everybody is the Yankees bullpen is the greatest you've ever seen. Well, you know what, get 9 outs then. Pete, New Hampshire. Pete, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, Dave, what's happening?
What's up, Pete?
Hey, I'm getting not tired of it. I keep hearing you guys keep bashing Judge about his injuries, but then you compare him to Stanton, they're not.
Well, hang on. I didn't bash Judge by any stretch.
No, but you guys aren't bash. All right, maybe bash isn't the right word to use, but you keep bringing him up as he's going to get hurt. His injuries have been he got hit on a wrist and he broke a rib diving for a ball. I'll take those over Stanton running to second base and straining his hamstring. Anyway.
I don't disagree with you, but you can't deny the fact that for the past 2 seasons you've had legitimate injuries with Aaron Judge, and he's a young guy.
Yeah, I understand that. But when you, like I said, you keep comparing him to Stanton's injuries, I just don't think that's fair.
Maybe you're right. Listen, maybe we'll meet in the middle. Can't compare him to Stanton, can have legitimate concerns that he's a guy that has suffered legitimate injuries.
But I kind of agree with that, but I'm just, I don't know. I understand what you're saying that way, too, but let's see what happens.
We'll see what happens. You know, I hope he stays healthy. He's a great player to watch. I mean, I was terrified. What was it, Saturday? Is that what it was? And thanks for the call. I can't even remember anymore. Every day, like, melds together. When he came up with 2 outs in the 9th and the Yankees had that rally going, I think it was the 2nd game on, I don't know. Was it Friday? I can't even keep it straight, but you know what I'm talking about. He comes up tying run, in the 9th inning, and he hits that ball to the warning track. I mean, yeah, he's terrifying. He's a great player. He's one of the, and you see what he's able to do. I mean, what does he have, 8 home runs and 19 RBIs right now? Sensational player. How good is Tatis, huh? Oh, my God. If you're the GM that traded Fernando Tatis, how do you live with yourself, right? You just got to look in the mirror and be like, I did what? He's amazing. Let's go to Jordan in the car. Jordan, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, Dave, what's going on? Huge fan.
Thanks,
I listen
Jordan.
Every day to DCR. I'm a huge in and out of the car guy. So I listen.
All right, so let me
day.
Ask you That's this now, great. Jordan. Let me ask you this.
Tell me.
Are you looking at today's show as like a breath of fresh air? Like, okay, I get solo Rothenberg. I can enjoy that today. Or do you look at today's show and say, no, it's just not the same. I miss Chris. I miss Rick. Like, where are you as far as this battle is concerned?
Well, it's. You know, it's going to take some getting used to. Like you said, baseball's different. Today's show is different. You know, I'm lucky to have you. I'd rather have you. No offense to Carlin, love Carlin, but I'd rather have you. You know, so I'm happy to have that. Happy to have you. I miss the guys. You know, I think we all tune in for a lot of the banter.
So you're playing it down the middle. Like what you're doing right now is playing it right down the middle. Like you're happy to have me. You miss the guys. You wish they were here. You kind of can't make your mind up right now.
Well, because we get solo Rothenberg on Saturday.
Yeah, we do.
You know, so you know, we get a lot of solo Rothenberg.
But it's like saying if you get a piece of pizza on a Saturday and now I offer you a piece of pizza on a Monday, you're going, no, I had pizza Saturday.
No, I'm still going to eat it. You know that.
Yeah, and you're gonna devour it. Is what you're gonna do.
I'm enjoying it. I tuned in. It's 10 o'clock. I'm enjoying it. I'm in the car. I'm on traffic, Southern State Parkway. Listen, you're a big Met fan. I'm a huge Yankee fan. We're both Giant fans. I have a lot of respect for you. I met you at Miller's Ale House. You're a great guy. I love you, man. You're one as LaGreca, pound for pound,
nice.
Best talk show on the station.
My guy. All right, Jordan, what's your point?
So you know what it was? You asked a question about if we regretted Stanton. I got to be honest. It's not so much I regret Stanton. I know it's a huge contract for years. My biggest complaint as the big Yankee fan that I am is Sanchez. You know, my line has been to my friends, I don't know if we're going to win a World Series with Sanchez. You know, we put him in the lineup You know, I mean, or excuse me, we started him at catcher because of his hitting. And I know we had 35 bombs last year, and I heard you guys talk about it last week. But at the same time, okay, we start him at catcher for his hitting. Now he's not hitting. He's horrible. And you don't trust him in a big spot. Everyone knows the book on him with the low and away slider. Paul O'Neill and Kay are talking about it. Everyone knows the book. In a big spot, he's going to strike out. That's the feeling. So if Stanton is healthy, I know it's rare, but if he's healthy, like when he was in the playoffs last year, I think game two against Houston, he had a huge opposite field home run. You know, when he's in the lineup and he can be potent, it's worth it. Sanchez is a walking strikeout. He was 0 for whatever, was 16.
Yeah,
or
and let's be fair, Jordan, thanks for the call. He's a defensive liability. He almost caught up to them again yesterday. Was it the eighth inning when they turned that double play where it looked like he called something that wasn't thrown and he was a little discombobulated and they kind of glared at each other? And yeah, I mean, listen, he's a problem. And the frustrating thing about him is he's so talented and he never seems to live up to that talent. You know, like if you're just not good, okay. It's not hard or it's not easy to be upset if someone's just not good, right? If your player's just not good, all right, well, he's just not good. I'm not going to get upset that a guy's just not a talented player, but Sanchez is really talented and he still underwhelms. And that to me, I think, is the point that frustrates a lot of Yankees fans. Is that he should be better. All right, today on ESPN Daily, Tom Brady's got a new playbook to memorize in Tampa Bay, and NFL veteran quarterback Josh McCown shares tips from learning 16 playbooks in his career. That's ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcast. 800-919-3776. We'll continue with the Yankees and the Mets conversation. We'll get into a little college football. We have NFL to get into as well. We're 4.5 weeks from the start of the NFL, and I know it doesn't feel it, but we're heading down that path. So NFL is going to come back, and we may have expanded NFL if college goes on a little sabbatical. So a lot to do. 800-919-3776. Before we go to break, and this pains me, because I thought I'd come back today for my vacation all rested and fresh, and we'd talk Rangers. How they beat Carolina and moved on, and we can't have that conversation. Rangers were awful. There's no two ways about it. From beginning to end, they were awful. But the Islanders were not. And the Islanders move on fairly easily against Florida, and they will take on now the Washington Capitals. I have in front of me the schedule for that series. So game one is this Wednesday, 8-12, 3 o'clock. It's going to be on 1050 ESPN. Game two, Friday night at 8 o'clock here on 98.7. Game three, Sunday at noon, also on 98.7. Game four, Tuesday at 8 on 98.7. Game five, Thursday, 6 Saturday, 7 Sunday the 23rd, all TBD time right now. So, Islanders start Wednesday, 8-12, 3 o'clock, 10:50 a.m. ESPN. There's your Islanders set up for the next round. I feel like we all are on the same page and that we feel it's heading down this direction. But Dan Patrick said an hour ago on his show that the Big Ten and Pac-12 will cancel their football seasons tomorrow. The ACC and Big 12 are on the fence right now. And of course, the SEC, what a surprise, right? The SEC is trying to get teams to join them for some kind of a makeshift season. Come on. I'm gonna get like 16 teams in college football, 18 teams in college football. It's not going to work. It's broken. System's broken. Give up. Wave the white flag if you're the SEC. I mean, they're just going to be like, there's nothing to see here up until the very end, right?
Join me.
Right? There's nothing to see here. Just trudge forward. It's fine. It's not fine. Big Ten, Pac-12, these are major conferences, guys. This is elite football. Big 12 on the fence, ACC on the fence. If you're on the fence, how can you play? And let's be honest, how can you play? And the dumbest notion going right now, the stupidest thing that people are saying is, oh, the media just, they don't want college football. Why would we not want college football? Under what circumstance would we not want any sport to be played? The country is in a pandemic. Is the right thing to do to have collegiate athletes who are not getting paid risk their lives to play football? Really? Makes no sense. So all I'll say is what I've been saying all morning at 800-919-3776. And that is, just push it back. I don't think today or tomorrow you have to cancel football collegiate period. Push it back. Push it back to, I don't care. Push it, say, you know what, we'll revisit November 1. And then November 1, things are still dire. You know what, we'll revisit Jan 1. And maybe you get to March 1 and you say, you know, we can't have college football. But you could play a season March 1. 6 conference games, conference championship game, and then the playoffs. You could do that. Is it ideal? Nothing. That's the point. Nothing is ideal right now. Nothing. Nothing about this is fair. Nothing is ideal. Nothing is the way we want it. What we're all trying to do in our own way is make the best of an awful situation. Hockey has done it. NBA has done it. They've put themselves in bubbles, and so far, so good. Now today at 6:45 on ESPN television, the NBA regular season continues. Bucks-Raptors preceded by NBA Courtside, presented by McDonald's. The NBA on ESPN and the ESPN app. 800-919-3776. Now, here's a little byproduct. And tell me about this. Your take on this. College football pushed back, I don't know, whatever, December, January. It's not going to happen when it normally does. Now, the NFL can swoop in here. And, of course, like the NFL always does, you know, make it a financial and just own everything. How do you feel? And I had this discussion when I did the show with Bart this morning. How do you feel? Can it be too much football? See, I don't see that, but I'm also blinded by the fact that I'll just, you know, my family can go do whatever they need to do. I'm just going to lock myself away, and they understand that at this point. If I gave you, and you tell me, let's walk this through, Thursday football, 2 Saturday games, a full slate of Sundays, and a Monday, is that too much, or does that work beautifully? So let's say for argument's sake, Thursday, the normal Thursday, 8 o'clock, 8:20, you know, the kickoff between two teams wearing strange uniforms. Fine. Friday to recoup. Saturday, I'm going to give you, say, a 4:30 and an 8. And then Sunday, I'm going to give you your normal full day, your Sunday night, and then your Monday night game. Does that work for you? Is that too much football for you? Do you love it? Do you hate it? I love it. Now, I don't know. Honestly, you could give me 2 games a day, every day of the week, and I'd be a happy guy. So I understand that I'm a little crazy when it comes to the amount of football I can watch. But if you have no college, and seemingly you're not going to have any high school anywhere, if I add you a couple of games on Saturday, is that more attractive than just the Thursday, Sunday, Monday? 800-919-3776. Let's go to John in Pennsylvania. John, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, Dave. I'm a huge fan of the show.
Thank you, John. Curious. Appreciate it.
I don't understand what's with all the concern with the Yankees. They almost made it to the World Series the back past couple of years, and all they've done is improve the roster.
Yeah, but they've lost games. And I think in any time that the Yankees lose games, you're going to have Yankee fans get upset. And especially this season, Yankees lose games, and it's a 60-game season, and it's a strange year. Yankee fans are going to get upset, and that's understandable. And I think that the Yankee, and let's be fair, the Yankees fan, they get upset with this, is a spoiled fan. Like, even Santiago is not going to deny that, right? I mean, Ray, the Yankees fan is a spoiled fan, correct?
100%.
Okay. So no one is saying panic. No one is saying, you know, run to the tallest building you can find and start screaming that the sky is falling. The sky may be falling, but it has nothing to do with the Yankees. Realistically, the Yankees are fine. They're a terrific baseball team. They have an ace number one starter. Their lineup is as good as almost anyone in Major League Baseball. Their starting staff, you know what? They have not been great. We're 16 games into a pandemic season, and they're 10-6. So I don't know why you would be anything short of pleased so far with the Yankees. Yeah, they had a rough weekend in Tampa. So what? So, I mean, is that that big a deal? That the Yankees had a rough weekend in Tampa? Who cares? Tampa's a good baseball team. Tampa can almost, I mean, they're not as good as the Yankees, but they can almost go toe-to-toe with the Yankees. That's fine. I don't know why that would you know, bother you to that extent. So you lost 3 or 4 to a Tampa Bay team that's, you know, arguably the second or third best team in the American League right now? I don't think that's a big deal. I wouldn't be overly concerned if I was a Yankees fan right now, nor should you be. 800-919-3776. Let's hear, speaking of the Yankees, let's hear a little bit more from Aaron Boone, and then we'll hear from Trevor Lawrence. Because Trevor Lawrence is an interesting story. Like, why he is pushing the narrative to play right now is a little puzzling to me. Because when you look at it, we'll get to it in a second. Let's hear a little bit more from Aaron Boone on the offense. On the offense being up and being down all in the same week.
You know, when you come here and play these guys, that runs are going to be at a premium. And, you know, they're very good at run prevention. You know, they do a really good job of that. They have a lot of quality arms. They, you know, they match up really well. So they make it difficult. So I think it's a little bit of that. You know, we still came in here and scored enough to be able to win some games. Obviously the first game, you know, where we lose 1-0. So attributed a little bit to that. I feel like we should be in a good spot here moving forward with where our guys are.
The Rays are tough, aren't they? Like that is a really tough baseball team. And they, you know, what's amazing. This is really surprising to me. The Mets bring in all these names for the bullpen, or anybody. And all you hear is bullpens around Major League Baseball, they stink, right? They're awful. And you look and you're like, who is this guy? And his ERA is 6.7. And it's just, every team has this. And then you look at the Rays. And they, you know, it's like, what, the who? They brought in who? Curtis comes in, 2 immaculate innings, 4 strikeouts. Thompson comes in. Rowe comes in. Anderson comes in. I mean, in theory, and I don't know how accurate this is, but like on paper, I think their closer is this kid Drake, who goes on the IL. So he's out, and it doesn't matter where they go. They find pitcher after pitcher after pitcher, and they go out there and they're lights out. That to me, and I don't want to get back into the Mets again. But that to me, Kitteridge and Fairbanks and Castillo, it's like they're a remarkable organization. That's why you should have gone with Heimblum. Because any you know, higher up hierarchy that is run on a shoestring and can be this effective with guys you've really never heard of, that's the organization that you want to emulate. And the Mets go and hire Brody, which is not a conversation we're going to get into today. 800-919-3776. So let me lay this out again for you. Thursday night football, we know we'll have. If I add a Saturday night football game, full Sunday, and then the Monday ESPN game, that's not too much. Right? I mean, if I still give you Saturdays to be with the family, and again, what is there to do? Yeah, you can do outside stuff, but in November, December, you're not going to have that outside stuff as an option. There's not a ton to do. If it's not a nice day right now, because we're all about getting outside, right? You want to get outside, you want to go to a park, your kid, you know, you play baseball, all that kind of stuff. Great. Throw the frisbee around, shoot hoops from a distance, great. We're in August. When we get to October and it starts to get colder and you get to November, and you don't really want to be outside all that much. And if we're still in the situation that we're in, we're really going to be like, oh, Saturday night football, that's too much. I don't want that. No. Give it to us. Give us Saturday football. Oh, come on. How delicious would that be? Give us a like Chiefs game on Saturday night. Give us a Giants game, a Jets game. Oh, be sensational. You'd be a fool to not want Saturday night football. If it's just one game a week, so I'm going to give you Thursday, Saturday night, full day Sunday, one Monday. Are the important part today. Rick is, I think he's still without internet, which is unbelievable to me. Chris is on vacation this week, and they left me to run this baby. So I will do the best of, excuse me, my abilities, take you till noon, and that's when Alan Hahn will take over today. And then 3 o'clock, of course, the K Show, and on we go. All right, 800-919-3776. So Trevor Lawrence comes out with this tweet yesterday about how college football's, honestly, it made me shake my head a little bit, how it's just, it's safer to play college football than not, because you don't know what these guys, it's a microcosm of what's kind of wrong with this country. Like, it's safer to play college football because at least you know where the guys are. And if you don't play college football, they go back to their lives wherever they are, and God knows what they're doing. It's almost kind of, it's like, it's pathetic, isn't it? Like, just to think of what we are as a society. Like, we're so pathetic that if you're not playing college football, which can't be safe to begin with, the way this thing spreads, that a better alternative is to save people from themselves. Like, that's a sad existence, isn't it? And I think that's exactly what we kind of are as a country. We show we're a sad existence right now. But here is Trevor Lawrence. We know he wants to play. We know he pushed for play. We know that he said it's a safer than the alternative, which is to, you know, send guys home and in theory quarantine. This is safer than that. So the question is, did you ever consider opting out? And here is the answer from Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence.
You know, I mean, I think everyone's thought about it just with everything going on. But, I mean, since I've made the decision to play, I hadn't thought about it again. You know, that's my decision. I'm committed. I want to play my last year here. You know, if that's what I decide to do, it's my third year. Even have another one. So I think people are forgetting I got 4 years. So I'm just ready to have a great year and be a part of this team. We're super pumped. But, yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is once I decide I'm playing, that's my mind's off of that.
Well, I'm surprised that he would want to play because, again, he must really love college, which I truly do respect. But what is there to gain for him? Like, he's going, if there's no more no more football, no more college football, or he doesn't play, he's going to be the number one pick in the draft. He's the star of stars. We talked about, you know, going into his freshman year, he might be the number one pick in the draft. Then he wins a national championship. Then he gets back into the college football playoff. He's what? He's lost one game in his collegiate career. He's otherworldly star of stars, considered to be a generational product. Why would he play? Other than the fact that he loves it to that extent, which I get, but it seems that he's being directed in an interesting way right now. 800-919-3776. Let's move ahead here, and let's go to Fran in Massapequa. Fran, you're next up on 98.7.
My man Dave, what's up, baby?
What's up, friend? I love the energy, pal. What's going on?
Yeah, all your fans get you along today. That's awesome. I turned the radio on. I was like, yes!
So you had the reaction. When you heard me solo, your initial reaction is, yes, I got him all to myself today.
There's no doubt. You could carry the K-Show by yourself from 3 to 7. That's how good you are. I can't even get... And this has become like a snowball effect. About 6 months ago, I used to call Sunday mornings for the Stump Rosenberg. Ralph, I always mess up your last name. I apologize, but I could get through. Now you can't. You call a half hour before you can't even.
No, people are lining up. You know what it's like? It's like the day after Thanksgiving. People are lined up around the corner to get the TV at some crazy price. Right. That's what Stump Rosenberg is. At 9:20 in the morning, an hour and 10 minutes before, they get calls that they want to get involved.
Everybody, you are as hot could be on the radio. That's it. But really quick, I'm going to throw out some things. One, yesterday a Yankee fan called you talking about the Mets. Last thing we need on earth is a Yankee fan calling about the Mets. Don't do it. Number two, let the Yankee fans live 1 week during the season in the Mets world, and they will never complain again. Number three.
Well, but they don't have to. I mean, it's similar to saying, make the Giants fan live as a Jets fan. Like, you wouldn't understand what that's like, nor should you have to.
Right, but they call. No, it's much different. It's much different. The Yankees are the most spoiled franchise in the world.
The Yankees are spoiled, but you don't. Listen, I know it's been a rougher run for the Giants in the last, 8 years, but come on. From the early 80s through 2012 was a pretty magical time for the Giants.
Absolutely, but the Yankees got 27 World Series. Listen, I don't want to.
The Giants went to 5 Super Bowls, Fran.
Absolutely, Giant fan. You're right. I'm not going to disagree with you. You're right. Number four, I think that I'm on.
We're up to four. All right, number four.
Real quick. I totally agree with you about the football. You could have it every day of the week. The NFL, people are going to watch it. There's no doubt about it. Number five,
Does five? How high are we going here? How long does the list go?
Five going. I'm going five. That's it. Trevor Lawrence, I'm in the 20% club. I had told you that a year ago tomorrow will be a year since I've had a massive heart attack, double cardiac arrest, and I'm doing great. Thank the Lord above. I go to church every Monday morning. But I'm in the 20% club with this damn disease. And I totally agree with Trevor Lawrence. You got to go out there. The boys are much better being watched and being taken care of. I think everything he said was 100% accurate.
I think he's ridiculous, man. Look, I get he wants to call. I gotta go. And I'm glad we don't have time for number six. I think he sounds ridiculous. And if he's right, then we are what we deserve. Like, if you can't just do the right thing, do you know how many experts have said, if this country would lock away for 6 weeks or 8 weeks, this thing would almost go away and people just can't do it? It's pathetic. It is pathetic. Look at other countries. Italy was ravaged worse than us, and they're back and they're up and they're running, and we get worse and worse and worse because people are selfish. That's why. So I understand. I love sports too. Love it more than probably anybody. But there's a time and a place for everything. And you tell me we have to have college football right now, and that's safer? Then that's pathetic that people are willing to risk everything for college football. Andy in Merrick. Andy, I'm a little tired this morning. I'm concerned that your questions are going to defeat me.
Good morning, Dave. Doing double duty. I have a four-pack of baseball questions.
Oh, my God. A four-pack of baseball questions?
I think you're up to the challenge.
I don't know.
You ready?
No, but go ahead.
All right. The only player in Major League Baseball history to have 50 doubles and 50 homers in the same season is...
All right, so it can't be Bonds.
No.
I think it... Is it Albert Bell?
Albert Joey Bell is correct.
Right.
One for one.
All right.
There have been only seven different players to score six runs in a Major League Baseball game. Only one of those guys happens to be a Met. Can you name the only Met to score six runs in a single game?
Oh, God. No, but I can take a guess at it.
I'll give you a hint.
I don't want a hint. I don't want your hints. All right, let me try to answer this. Six runs in a game. I don't know. I'm thinking Reyes. I'm thinking Alfonso. I'm thinking. I don't think Rosario's done it, although he's a guy that gets on base a lot. I don't know. I'm gonna be wrong. I'm gonna guess Jose Reyes.
Oh, you had it with Edgardo Alfonso. You were right there.
I stink. The
only visiting player to have three home runs in the Astrodome in that same game. All right, question number three, Mr. Rothenberg. There have been two players in Major League Baseball history to have 12 RBI in a single game. They both played with the Cardinals. Name either of them.
I believe Mark Whitten and Jim Bottomley would be your answer.
That is both of them.
Mm-hmm.
All right, your bonus question.
Mark Whitten, I think, did it on... It might have been four home runs in that game, actually.
It was four home runs against the Cincinnati Reds in 1993.
Yeah, I remember that. And I think it might have been four home runs and four at-bats.
That I'm not sure about. I think he might have been 4 for 5 that game. We can check it, though.
All right, and lastly... To go 75%.
Since moving to Baltimore in 1954, which Oriole player has the highest single-season batting average of .340? He had started his career with the Mets. Name him.
Started his career with the Mets. I would have thought maybe it's B.J. Surhoff, but he never played with the...
Nope. Miguel Tejada went .330 one year, but there's a guy who hit .340 2 years with the Mets, and he was gone.
Of course he was. Was he good on the Mets?
He was okay. He came up as a 27-year-old in 1999.
Melvin Mora.
Melvin Mora is correct.
Yeah,
Dave.
He was a much better player after the Mets than as a Met, yes.
As always, David, stay healthy. We'll see you Friday.
I love it. All right, there you have it. That is Andy Frmerich with his melange of questions. 3 of 4, not bad. And I even thought about Alfonso, but I didn't go in that direction. I could be shipwrecked. I could hear this in the distance and think that all's going to wind up okay. Like, there's something about the NFL film soundtrack that is... Santiago, do you disagree with me? It's very moving.
Magical.
Magical. It's the perfect word for it. Magical is what it is. And we're going to get into the NFL in just a moment. Now, I mean, I don't have anyone to talk to today. You're my connection to like a co-host today. So let me bounce this off you.
Sure, go ahead.
We had Andy from Merrick. Great job. 4 questions, 4-pack. Nice. We don't want to turn this into a trivia show, right? That's the last thing we want to do. But we have a caller on hold, a 91-year-old, Bernie from Middle Village, that has a question for me. Do you think we take that?
You've got my attention. He's 91 years old. He's got trivia for you.
So you think we do go with that?
Let's go for it.
Okay. All right, let's do that, and then we'll get to the Giants and the Jets at 800-919-3776. Bernie in Middle Village. Good morning, yeah, Bernie. How are you?
Good, David. Nice talking to you. I won't take much of your time.
That's okay. Take your time.
In the 50s, the Dodgers signed a bonus player. They had to keep him on a roster. They couldn't send him down because they would have lost him in a draft. Pittsburgh was ready to grab him. My question is, who was the player that they sent down to the Montreal Royals?
The Montreal Royals?
Yes, that was a farm system in those days for the Dodgers.
Well, I don't. This is going to be a big time player, isn't it?
Yes, the bonus player was a big time player. The fellow that they sent down was just a so-so player, but eventually became a big manager in the major leagues.
Bernie, I don't think I know this one. I think you got me. I'm going to say, you think I've heard of him, right?
I think so.
All right, he was a big time manager. I'm going to say, boy, I really don't know. I don't know. I'm going to just guess Jackie Robinson, but I know that's not the right answer.
No, Dave, the bonus player was Sandy Koufax. The player that they sent down in the minor leagues was Tommy Lasorda.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. All right. Well, Bernie, listen, I'm glad that you called. I'm glad you appreciate the show, and thanks for joining me for a few minutes, okay?
Okay, nice talking to you, Dave.
You as well, Bernie. I appreciate that. Santiago, look at that. I mean, we 91 years old, and he's so moved by what I do on the radio that he wanted to get involved.
And drops into Tommy Lasorda on you.
That's right. And it's a nice question, too. And you could tell what a genuinely nice man
Very.
That Bernie happened to be. All right. Can we spend a couple minutes on the Mets, on the Jets and the Giants? I mean, guys, can you give me that music again, Santiago?
1 second.
Yeah, you cue that up. So we'll play this under a little football conversation on a Monday. Because as we said, it's a month away. There it is. We're 1 month from the day away from the start of the NFL. Which is what? Texans Chiefs, I believe. And then the Jets Bills on the Sunday. Maybe we'll move it up to Saturday. Who knows? And then the Giants Steelers from an empty MetLife Stadium on Monday on ESPN television. All right. Keep it very low. Let's talk over this music a little bit. So let's look at the Jets. And 800-919-3776. So last I was on the air on this show, you know, you thought, no Jamal Adams, the Jets will be, they'll be okay, right? And now you find out that you're not going to have C.J. Mosley either. I mean, you know, this is daunting. And again, you don't love the head coach and you worry about Sam Darnold in this offense. I understand that Sam Darnold still has tremendous amounts of hope, but, you know, and I think you still like Joe Douglas, but I mean, at some point, it's like you just shout out, uncle. I mean, now you're without, a month ago, you said this defense is going to be run by Jamal Adams and C.J. Mosley, and you'll get a better Quinnen Williams. Well, I mean, what do you have now? Defensively, you got Avery Williamson, who is coming back from a major knee surgery. You got Quinnen Williams. there's not a ton of talent on this defense. And I do like Greg Williams, but you start to become a little bit concerned. And then you look at this team offensively, and there's worries. The offensive line has to be better, but I think there's real worries as far as this offense is concerned. And I don't even want to get into the, you know, Darnold year three. If he has a bad season, do you move on from him? I think that's an asinine conversation, to be honest with you. But I think you have to have the real thought of, are they going to be good? Like, it's maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know. I just look at this, and we're a month out. It's hard for me to look at the Jets and say that's going to be a good football team. You know, the Bills are better. The Patriots, even with guys opting out, bringing in Cam Newton, coached by Belichick, are better. And I think you can argue that Miami might be better. Like, right now, is there a better chance the Jets come in last place than they come in playoff caliber position? I'd say so. I mean, right now, what do you look at the Jets as? A 5-win team? Maybe a 6-win team? Are the Jets better than Miami? Don't give me this, well, if the Jets, you know, if the Jets take on the Miami Dolphins, that's two wins, because it's not. Don't give me if they take on New England, that's two wins, because it's not. And certainly not Buffalo. I mean, what are the Jets? You know, we keep saying and waiting and hoping, and this is the year, and it's going to get better. Is it? Is this really the year that the Jets get better? Because, I think that Joe Douglas has had a decent offseason, but talent-wise, they're deficient. And you look at the schedule. You open up at Buffalo, then you have the Niners, then you go to the Colts, then you have the Broncos. Where's the win there? You really expect to go to Buffalo and win? Home to the Niners? At the Colts? And I've heard a lot of, oh, you'll win the Colts. Why will you win the Colts? Hosting the Broncos? Prime time, October 1? I don't know that any of those are wins. Hosting the Cardinals? At the Chargers? I mean, stop me when I get to the game that you look at, you're like, now, Dave, that's a win. Hosting the Bills? At the Chiefs? Hosting the Patriots? At the Dolphins? Back-to-back weeks with the Dolphins. You get Dolphins by Dolphins again. Hosting the Raiders? At the Seahawks? At the Rams? Hosting the Browns? At the Patriots? Look, I don't think the Jets will be awful, but it's hard for me to look at that schedule and see more than 5 wins. You really look at the Jets this year, your best defensive player gone, shipped out of town. Your second best defensive player opting out. Your quarterback doesn't have a lot of weapons. Your offensive line upgraded, brand new. Your running back, you don't know what they'll do with him. Your receiving core, you look at it top to bottom in the NFL, it's probably as bad as it gets. Your head coach, you have tremendous concerns about. You really look, and I heard a lot of, well, the Jets are going to compete for a playoff spot. You still stand by that? Like, as we sit here on August 10th, you still stand by this is a playoff caliber team? And maybe, just maybe, this is the year that you don't have the same pressure. So you know what? You go 5-11. You wind up with the fifth pick in the draft, and this draft could be absolutely insane. But then you have Seattle's pick. And the thing that's upsetting to me is if you look at this season as almost a write-off and say, well, you know what? Our best player opted out. We're building towards the future. Darnold was decent. Am I keeping the coach for another year? Or am I moving on from him? So I don't know that we have the answers. But I think there are real concerns about the Jets. And again, I don't think the Giants are anything beautiful either. I think the Giants have tremendous concerns. They're secondary. I mean, you like McKinney from Alabama, but he's never played a snap. You like Bradbury. You bring him in. But other than that, I mean, Blake Martinez, fine. Last I saw him, he was you know, getting juked all over the place by any San Francisco running back. Yeah, I think you're going to get a lot of Lorenzo Carters and those guys that try to get to the quarterback. And I think you can have – I think the Giants defense will probably be subpar. Offensively, if the offensive line is better, and it certainly should be, Nate Solder or not, because you bring in the – I mean, and I've heard, well, can he play left tackle right away? He's the fourth pick in the draft. You better be able to play left tackle right away. So if he can, the Giants have weapons. And offensively, that should be a pretty decent unit. But I think you have real concerns on both of these teams. Like, there's no way we sit here August 10th, 1 month out from the season starting, and anybody Giants or Jets fan can realistically listen to this and say, I think my team's going to the playoffs, right? Like, there's no way. There's no way. Impossibility. Jets, I'm looking at, I don't know, 5 or 6. Giants, I'm looking at, I don't know, 5 or 6. If one of those teams does well, I don't know. 7? These are not playoff caliber teams by any stretch. The difference is you have optimism, and this is where they're almost intertwined and different. You have real optimism with the Giants coach, and I don't think you have that with the Jets coach. You have real optimism with the Jets GM, and I don't think you have that with the Giants GM. 800-919-3776. All right, Santa, you can put the music down. I just wanted it for effect. I think it added the effect. Ira, Staten Island. Ira, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Dave, the music is the best, and you just did a mitzvah taking a 91-year-old caller. That's excellent. Great job.
This is what I do. I'm a man of the people, and I saw him waiting on hold, and I was like, I want to pick this up. So I did.
Tremendous, and it was nice listening to him. You know, you're talking about the Jets season. You know, we've talked about it the last couple of weeks, and as optimistic as I try to be, I got to look at it realistically. And to me, you know, did you see ESPN put out the rankings, the position rankings, and how the Jets roster shapes up compared to the rest of the league?
Up and down? No, I didn't see that.
Okay, well, besides the defensive line, and I think it was the tight ends and running backs, everything else was pretty much 26 and below.
Well, I mean, Ira, look at it. The Jets lack talent. There's no two ways about it. Even the quarterback who you think has real promise, I mean, he's an unknown quantity right now.
Oh, 100% compared to the rest of the league. And that's why, you know, anybody that thinks that this is a one-year fix for Douglas, it's not. He has a long-term plan, and that's why I wanted the 6 years. But, you know, I go up and down, and I look at the schedule, I look at the team, and if the Jets have any chance of maybe a 7 or 8-win season, it's going to be how quick the offensive line gels. And that's a big concern. With the limited amount of training camp, it's not their fault. We're going through a...
Of course. No, but here's the thing I'll say, Ira. Everyone's in the same field, right? Everyone has to deal with the same circumstances. So I get it that, like, the Belichick teams have an advantage because he's been there forever and they know his system and they're used to it. But, you know, we're all under the same umbrella here of you don't get any training camp and no preseason games and 14 practices and you're flying blind.
Absolutely, and you're talking about the coach now with the Giants, with Judge, it's his rookie year, so he gets a pass. You know, now, you know, what's going to happen with Gage? You know, if they go 11-5, great, who knows? But if like we talked about, if they're a 5-win team and the quarterback doesn't get better, does Gage get a pass this year, or does Chris Johnson decide to move on? It's going to be...
I can't. If you get another substandard and another year from Sam Darnold where you watch him, like, you know, he gave you moments where he was pretty good. Gave you maybe like the Cowboys game again. I had to throw that in there for Santiago. And then he gave you, you know, it was subpar a lot of the season, and he sees ghosts and has that. How do you keep Adam Gase? How is that possible, Ira?
It would be very difficult. I just thought he was brought in here to develop Donald. And now this is his second year. Great. You know, he's under the same circumstances that the other 31 coaches are. But he's got to get the job done. Douglas has given him a new offensive line. They do have to gel. The receivers, listen, you know what? Maybe Mims will turn into something.
Maybe.
But
here, Ira, how can you expect him to be a big-time receiver?
No.
I mean, you're right. Maybe he will. And maybe down the road he certainly will. But year one with a limited training camp and not even being together and no preseason games, you think that he's going to be right off the bat a big-time receiver?
No, I'd be stunned. To me, this is going to be a short passing game, the crowd of the tight ends, the running backs. And, you know, Dave, I don't know if you agree with me, whether it's the Giants, the Jets, the Patriots, the Saints, anybody. I think it's going to go back to basic football because they're not going to be able to open up their playbooks and have, you know, end arounds and flea flickers and all the... Their timing isn't there. You got players learning systems. I think you're going to see the Green Bay Packers of the 60s on a lot of these teams. They're going to go with what works. And what
I will tell you this, though, Ira, thanks for the phone call. I spoke to Dan Orlovsky this morning. I asked him, do you think you're going to see a lesser version of football? And he said, like, point blank, no. He said, these are the best you have in the world, and you will still see a high quality of football. Now, does that necessarily mean that he's 100% right? No, of course not. But his belief, and he certainly has a lot of knowledge of the NFL, is that you're going to still see a tremendously high quality football. And I hope that's the case. All right, I want to remind you, you can listen to us anywhere you go. Click listen live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play 98.7 ESPN. At 98.7 ESPN New York, we go where you go. Now, Santiago, because you're my sounding board today, this is the tweet that I get from the Joyce Min. You're such a Jets hater. Jets went 7-9 last year, 6-2 down the stretch with everything going wrong. This team is healthier and better. You just look at the Jets and automatically think bad. Stop hating and realize there are worse teams and teams that they can beat on the schedule. All right, first of all, how are they healthier and better than they were last year? Second of all, and Ray, this is kind of rhetorical, but I'd like you to chime in at some point, is there's real concerns about this team. And I don't understand how I'm a Jets hater because I'm giving you honest feedback of what I think they are. Do you think I'm, when you hear me discuss the Jets and the Giants, which were very similar in my analysis, do you look at me as a Jets hater?
No, not, I mean, listen, you can be a Jets hater, but I don't think that you are. And if you look at there's no denying the Jets had a very nice run to end the season last year, right?
They went 6-2. But I will throw out there, was that a legitimate 6-2?
Not really, because they played a lot of cupcakes in those final.
They played cupcakes. They had the Bills, you know, roll over in that final game of the season.
Yep.
So you're right. Listen, you went 6-2. You went 7-9. I can't take that away. You need to prove to me when this season starts that 6-2 was legitimate and has any kind of carryover.
I mean, I don't know that anyone can say with a straight face that they've gotten better. You don't know that they've gotten better. They made some decent draft picks.
You lost your best player.
Defensively, they've gotten worse because, okay, you didn't have C.J. Mosley pretty much at all last year, but you just lost the one playmaker your defense had. You didn't necessarily get better at corner. You still don't have a pass rusher.
You lost your best player. How you could look at this team and say they got better talent-wise is beyond me. The offensive line should be better. The quarterback better be better. The running back better be used better. The receivers are not very good. And the defense has real holes. So I think Greg Williams is smart and talented and will get the most out of these guys. But for me to say that this is a team that I look at and I think is going to be better than 6-10, no, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. I won't do it. Tommy in Queens. Tommy, you're next up on 98.7.
Dave, wonderful to hear from you today. I'm very happy for yourself. It's actually a really solid Dave Monday. I'm not disappointed at all.
So you feel good about this? Like, you got 6 hours of me today, and you love it.
I feel amazing about it, and I hope I could at least give you some Jets perspective that's not as doom and gloom. But I just want you to hear me out. So see that the Jets and Giants will be picking top 10 next year's draft. But for the Jets, I feel that that's a blessing because, all right, in this year, which will be – you know, kind of disrupted by the coronavirus, the Jets have never really been ripped apart to rebuild. They were quick to rebuild when they signed Brandon Marshall, Eric Decker, Ryan Fitzpatrick on another one-year deal. Like, they never really looked to rebuild. They tried to throw money at it to, you know, put a contender together. So Joe Douglas now has a chance, an opportunity, to have multiple draft picks in future drafts. He has an opportunity to kind of mold it how he wants. And a bad season where he might be able to pick a new head coach and maybe even a higher draft pick. I mean, as horrible as that sounds, that I got to actually deal with this whole season of watching these games. But
Tommy, don't you think, and maybe I'm wrong, but let me throw this out there, that even if the Jets stink this season, do you think it pains you the same way it does in a normal year? Like, if the Jets go 4-12... and there's no one in the crowds, and we're sitting here dealing with a pandemic, and there's no college football, do you really think it bothers you the same way it would if it was last year or next year?
Well, you're talking to a Jets fan who's seen the butt fumble, who's seen my quarterback. I've never seen anybody ever go out for mono, never. And my quarterback goes out for mono on a year that we were actually a little excited. You know, you signed Lev Bell, C.J. Mosley. It was a little bit of hype. But, like, I can't say that I'm going to be disappointed because I still love my Jets. I love football. I'll watch a 2-whatever team.
Of course you'll watch it. You're a fan, and that's what you do. But my point is, and thanks for the call, I just think that this is such a weird season and such an unprecedented time that even if your team stinks, maybe it doesn't pain you the way it normally does. That's my point. I appreciate the phone call. That's my point. Like, I don't expect the Giants are going to be great. I think the Giants are, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 if they're lucky, 8 if they hit a home run kind of a team. But my point is, if there's ever going to be a year where I'm not crazed and I don't lose it every single Sunday or Saturday for that matter, or Thursday or Wednesday, whenever they wind up playing these games, do I take it kind of with a grain of salt, big picture, and say, look, it's a weird season. I'm going to get a top 7 pick. I trust my coach. Like, maybe a subpar season isn't as painful this year as it has been in the past. Because the Giants have had 3 straight seasons where they've stunk. 5 wins, 4 wins, 3 wins. Right? They've been awful. Maybe it's a little different. Maybe if you win 5 games, and again, Daniel Jones plays well, and Barkley plays well, and you have money in free agency, and you like Joe Judge, you know, maybe 6 wins isn't that devastating. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. I think there's a different feeling for the sports fan. 800-919-3776. We continue to hear from the Jets and the Giants fans. Yankees fans, and I know the panic in your voice. You can call as well. The Mets' deepest rotation in baseball is not anymore. Michael Wacha goes on the IL. Today on Savages in the Box, a brutal weekend for the Yankees in Tampa, dropping 3 of 4. I love this. Let me finish the read it and let me comment. Dropping 3 of 4 and putting Stanton on the injured list, plus of the Rays' real competition for the East. That's on Savages in the Box with Chris Carlin. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. A brutal weekend? Brutal? You lose 3 of 4. You led, could have won 3 of 4. Brutal? You're 10-6. See, and therein lies the issue that we have with the Yankee fans. Brutal weekend. No, it's a bad weekend for the Yankees. They will be totally fine. So, let me set the stage for you again. I'm going to take you till noon, and then Alan Hahn is going to take you from noon to 3. And Hahn has, he's stolen a guest from us again. Paul Feinbaum will join him at 12:30. And at some point during the show, Rich Kleiman will also join up and talk with Alan. So Alan's going to be 12 to 3 today with Feinbaum, a stolen guest, and Kleiman, which is also pretty much stolen. I mean, really what their producer, John Winthrop, has done is just pilfered our guests, because Kleiman's my guy on the weekends, and he's a dear friend of mine at this point. And Feinbaum is our guest on Fridays in football season, but that's fine. I mean, let Alan have that. I'm not upset with Alan. He deserves all the great guests he can get. It's John Winthrop, the producer, but conversation for a different day. And then 3 o'clock, of course, the K Show, and on and on and on we go. Now, next week, we have a new lineup. Let me bring it to your attention, and then we'll get to the calls, 800-919-3776. 6 to 9, starting Monday, August 17th, Keyshawn, Jay Williams, Zubin Mehenti. 6 to 9. 9 to 11, DCR. DCR. Moving up to a morning drive at 9. 9 to 11. 11 to 1, we push Barton Hahn up, 11 to 1. Stolen guests or not, that's their new time slot. 1 o'clock, Greeny for an hour. 2 o'clock, Max for an hour. And then the K-Show pops on, as usual, at 3. All right, 800-919-3776. Let me just get to this, and then we'll get to the calls. College football is, they are really, the SEC is unbelievable. Like, I almost feel like there's almost nothing that could happen which would make the SEC stand up and take notice and say, you know what, guys, we should not be playing football this season. And we're not even saying that. They're not saying there's no chance that we're going to play. What we're saying right now is that we're not going to play now. And if we get to November and people are smart and the virus dies down a large portion, then maybe we'll play then, or maybe we'll play in December, or maybe we'll go January, or maybe we go March. Like, no one is saying there won't be college football. All that's being said is there won't be college football now. And the Big Ten, it sounds like, is you knew Michigan from the jump here. And it's sad. Like, Michigan's a legitimate football power. Like, they've been a great team, and I know the jokes of, well, Harbaugh's never beat Ohio State, whatever. They are a legitimate football power. Are they going to go to the college football playoff? Probably not. But are they a legitimate team? They're a legitimate team. They're a 9-win team. They're a good team. He's a great coach, right? And really? We have them, and you know they don't want to play, and you know they don't think it's right. And then Ohio State, weeks ago, with their athletic director, and sending out this, sign this form to 18- and 19-year-old kids and their parents. It's real. It's such a, I mean, like the Ohio States and the SECs of the world, it's incredible to me that the world can be falling apart around them, and it's just move forward with children. Just head down. Nothing to see here. Like you know, buildings crashing to the sides. Doesn't matter. Move forward. I mean, you see the latest, Dan Patrick on his show is reporting that they say Big Ten, Pac-12, they're going to opt out. They're not going to play. And the SEC is still grasping at the straw of whatever we can do. Like, would you like to join up and create a one big conference? And that's not a legitimate college football season. So if Alabama beats 14 other teams, they get a nat. No, it's a joke. Stop it. Calm it down. And if and when we get to the point where the country has done right by this virus and gets in better standing, then you revisit that conversation. But this head in the sand, move forward, college football, Oxford, Mississippi, Starkville, gotta play, is unbelievable to me. Josh, Long Island. Josh, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, Dave, how's it going?
What's up, Josh?
I just hope they don't play the season to start the school year, because I just think, like you said, it's just irresponsible. There's no reason to do it. Most schools anyway are just the freshman students coming in, they're learning remote, you know. And I think if you start in the spring and at least have the goal of starting at some point in the spring, wouldn't that be awesome for all those freshman students, the seniors, and all the other students that are going back? They're going to go back to school in the spring, hopefully.
I mean, would it, Josh, be awesome? I don't know that I would use that word. Would it be the best of a bad situation? Yes.
Just in the sense of, you know, it's something to look forward to for a lot of students if they have the ability to start in the spring. Obviously, I hope they would make, you know, conscious effort not to do anything dangerous to the student population. But, I mean, I feel like sometimes their priorities are so misplaced. These are academic institutions. Like, you can't send the students back. Why are we going to go so far out of our way to jump through flaming?
Well, I think that's been Canty's take the entire way. And thanks for the call, Josh. And that is, so you're going to say to students, you can't come back. We expect you to pay full fare and do remote learning. But to the players, come on back. Like, what sense does that make? And let me ask you this. When you were 18, 19, 20 years old, did you make rational decisions? I mean, did you? Or were you making dumb decisions based on spur of the moment? And I still think a lot of people make spur of the moment decisions. But at least they're educated enough that they have lived, you know, I mean, 30, 40, 50 years, that they can make an educated decision. If you're 18, 19, of course, if you're going to, you know, it's not surprising that college football players are uniting to try to play the season. I understand it. I do. I think they're wrong, but I understand it. They see their game being ripped away and they don't know any way to save it. So they're going to band together. But I mean, come on. The children, Trevor Lawrence, who's going to be a multimillionaire within the next calendar year. Is he the one that should be determining whether we play college football or not? Or the presidents of the universities who should, in theory, have the best interest of these players at hand? You know the answer. You may not like it, but you know the right answer. Joe in Jersey, you're next up on 98.7, Joe.
What's going on, Dave?
What's up, Joe?
What's up? Yeah, before I make my Jeff point, you know, I give him credit, though, for wanting to play. I mean, he's got his national championship. He's going to be the number one pick in the draft. He can't do any worse or better, really. He's going to be the number one pick.
Well, he could. I mean, you're right. Like, the fact that he wants to play sounds great. But here's the thing. Yeah. He could do worse. What happens if he goes out there against Georgia Tech and breaks his leg and shatters it and he's no longer Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah, like what happened to Tua last year with the hip. You're right. It was the game that didn't even matter. He shouldn't even been in there. But as far as my Jet point, here's the problem with the Jets. I mean, I'm a diehard. The 6-2 finish, here's the problem I have with it. You know, when they had a chance to go into Cincinnati, a team that hadn't won yet, and they lost, and then they played Miami, a team that hadn't won yet, and they lost, games that those are games they should have won. I blame Gaze for going into those games unprepared, not getting the team up. Those I understand they won 6-2, but the two games they should have won, which would have gotten in the playoffs theoretically, that Bengal game, which was.
But that's not a. I mean, come on. I mean, I get it. You're right. The Miami game and the Bengals game, but that there is no way that was a playoff team last year. There is zero chance that was a playoff team.
The problem I have is this: I like Joe Douglas. He's new on the job. So far, what he's done, I kind of like. I do like what he's done. I would have liked him to sign a couple more free agents. But then again, you know what? Why go crazy? Why give Clowney that money when this team's not going anywhere anyway? It doesn't make sense. I understand that. You got the draft choices now. You got two picks, two number one picks next year. You know, let's be honest. Dave, this whole season coming up is going to, in my opinion, lays with Darnold. Did he take another step forward? He has to. If he doesn't, we're in trouble. Because picking the wrong quarterback, someone said a long time ago, could set your franchise back 10 years. Because now you got to start all over again, draft another quarterback, groom him. So he's got to show something next year. I understand he's got limited tools around him. I mean, he's got a better offensive line. Hopefully Le'Veon Bell is going to play better because he was awful this year. I'm so tired of hearing how great he is. He was the worst. Blair Powell, the few times he got the ball, looked so much better than Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, but I didn't think Bell looked good, and I didn't think they used him well either. I thought it was a combination of two things that didn't work.
His running style is that pause, you know, the wait for the line to open up and wait, and that offensive line last year was in shambles. It wasn't really good, so I understand that. But here's the problem. You know, when he was running at his best, he had Brown on one side, he had the kid that went to Denver, he had like three great wide receivers and a great offensive line and a great quarterback. So, I mean, those things do help. Hopefully he does play better this year. You know, I'm hoping
he will. And thanks for the call. I really don't have any doubt that you're going to get a better version of Sam Darnold this year. I really believe that to be true. And for all you 6-2 down the stretch, what a finish. Unbelievable. You beat the Giants, who stunk. You went into Washington and played well in that game, and they stunk. You throttled the Raiders, which was a good win. You lost to the winless Bengals. You barely beat Miami, and you should have lost that game if not for an awful penalty. You got hammered by the Ravens. You edged the Steelers with a third-string quarterback, and you beat Buffalo, who had zero to play for, and you barely beat them. If you went 6-2 down the stretch and beat real teams and won games where teams were competing to try to beat you all along the board, I would give the Jets credit. I'm sorry. Beating the Giants, Washington, Dolphins, Steelers, and Bills, and the Raiders was a good win. I'm not giving you a lot of accolades. Now, you start out 6-2 this year, different story. I will see that. I will believe that then. But right now, come on. You really look at the Jets and think this is any better than a 6-win football team? And the Giants too, for that matter? You're crazy. As we sit here and analyze the NFL and college football and all of it, Chris on vacation this week. So Han's going to take over at noon this week. And then the new schedule goes into effect next Monday. I'll give it to you again quickly. We'll get to your calls, 800-919-3776. The new morning show will take you 6 to 9. It's Keyshawn Johnson, Jay Williams, Zubin Mehenti, all local guys, all New York guys. So that's going to be a great listen. 9 to 11 will be a sensational listen. You're familiar with the show. DCR, I believe, that will be on from 9 to 11. Then Bart and Han, 11 to 1. 1 to 2, Greeny. 2 to 3, Kellerman. And 3 o'clock on the Michael Kay Show. So new, improved on 98.7 ESPN. Let's go to Greg and Manalapan. Greg, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, Dave. Love the show. Hey, congratulations on Saturday's stump you. Amazing performance.
Oh, it was, what was I, like 8-1 or something?
Yeah, you were 8-1 and you blew me away with some of those answers. Just amazing stuff.
The amount of knowledge, Greg, is really, it's a Hall of Fame level. I appreciate the kind words.
All right. I got 2 points. One, on the Jets, I am worried about Sam's progression, and I'll tell you why. While I like the job Douglas has done so far, Sam still has mediocre receivers out there, and that's going to.
You know what? Are they? Let's be honest. You say mediocre. You would think is middle of the road, right?
Yeah, that.
Are they middle of the road?
They're probably not.
They're probably not.
And optimistic, but this is the reason why I really call college football. I'm a second generation Domer. I live and die for the Irish, and I'm hoping they don't play. It's just with baseball, I mean, you got professionals They're getting paid, and they can't control the virus and what's going on. How the heck are these college coaches going to monitor 70 underclassmen? I mean, you mentioned
well, they're not. I mean, Greg, the truth is they're not. I mean, you look at Zach Plesac. He's leaving to go meet friends, you know, after a game. He just leaves the hotel. And he's a professional. He's getting paid. How in the world are you going to control the college athlete?
I agree. And just one last point on Notre Dame and joining the ACC. What a joke. I mean, our traditional rivals are Michigan, Michigan State. We're outside of Chicago. We should be in the Big Ten. And I wish they'd figure out how to split up that money. You know, like maybe Notre Dame's NBC money, they give 2/3 of it to the Big Ten, and we take a share of the Big Ten. We should not be in the ACC.
Well, you know what the only difference is, and thanks for the call, Greg, they're in the ACC for everything else. So I guess that kind of seems like you're not going to go to the Big Ten for football and then the ACC for basketball. That'd be a really, really strange look. All right. Santiago, have you seen who's on line one? His name is Ryan in Long Island. You see what the slug says? Why don't you read it? Because I don't want people to think that I'm swaying anybody when I
loves you and everything you do.
All right, let's find out what Ryan from Long Island has to say. Good morning, Ryan. Sounds like it's going to be a great call. You're up.
Good morning, Dave. How are you today?
I'm good.
Dave, I just wanted to say, I heard the new schedule. I'm not happy about it. The fact that they're taking an hour away from the best sports radio show I've ever listened to in my life. I have to deal with it.
But Ryan, you get us earlier in the day.
I know, but they're taking an hour away.
But we're gonna mush a lot into that 2 hours. Don't you worry.
As far as Saturday mornings go, I mean, when I wake up and I don't hear Van Halen, it's not a normal Saturday for me. Saturday mornings with Dave Rothenberg are awesome. You were 8-1 last weekend. Your knowledge is fantastic. I met you guys last. At the summer ending, nothing but complete gentlemen, and I just think you guys are the best. And if there's Howard Stern, and there's Dave Rothenberg, and that's no lie for me.
Wow. Well, how about Ryan from Long Island? Because the Mount Rushmore of callers, Santiago. Do you shudder when you hear this, or do you feel good about this?
You should feel good about it.
No, I feel great about it. But how about you? Like, you feel dirty, or you feel like, you know what, that's my guy? Like, is there a modicum of pride when you hear a caller just wax poetic like that about it?
Listen, there's got to be a modicum of pride when it's somebody that you're producing for. You got to take the good with the bad. So
really what he's saying is, Dinahan, Santiago, you are producing this show. You guys also are great. We're a unit.
There you go.
Right?
There you go.
Very nice call. Andy and Merrick. Andy, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, how you doing, Dave? You're doing a very nice job today. I hope they're paying you a little overtime. My point was the college football restarting again, you know, you're talking about it in moral terms, but the college presidents, the ADs, the coaches, none of them care about these kids at all.
I would say for the most part, that's probably pretty accurate, yes.
Yeah, they don't care about their health. They don't care about their well-being. They care about the money that is going in their pockets, and that's it, right? So they treat them like indentured servants.
Right, but it doesn't mean that it's right, and it doesn't mean that people shouldn't fight back against an injustice that you see.
No, I agree, but how are you going to fight back? They're going to make the decision whether or not to play, and they're probably
I think the presidents are going to be forced to not play. I just think that the outcry is going to be so large. And look, you feel it. You feel the groundswell against playing, don't you?
Yeah, I suppose so, but I mean, if you go to, say, the South, where you know, the SEC is playing on Saturday.
Well, you hear what they're doing. I mean, you hear that they're just like, we want to play no matter what. And Andy, I got to run, so thanks for the call. But yeah, I mean, yeah, but that's no surprise. I mean, that's what they are. That's exactly what the SEC, like, I would expect nothing different from the SEC. I would expect them for the world to be falling apart around them. And to be like, you know, Saturday at noon, Ole Miss, Miss State, right? That's what I would expect.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg, weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.